Welcome to the Research Works podcast. My name is Dr. Dana Poole and I get the privilege of bringing to you a very special series this week. I am here in Slovenia at the European Academy of Childhood Disability, interviewing the researchers and presenters about their work. This is very exciting and I can't wait for you to delve into this whole research conference series. We hope you enjoy the series. Welcome back, everyone. Research Works podcast, a lovely conference series here at EACD Slovenia 2023. It is the final day here, and I'm just trying to get in as many interviews as I can because there's been so many incredible presentations. And I have the great fortune of finally meeting in person. I feel like I'm saying that a lot these days. A friend of the show who's been on the show before, Rachel Tuvey, or Dr. Rachel Tuvey, to be very official, from the University of Melbourne. Welcome, Rachel.
Thank you, Dana. No, you can call me Rachel. That's totally fine.
It always feels a bit strange, but to be official, it's so nice to be able to see you here. And I keep saying to all the Australians, it's taken us to come all the way to Slovenia to finally meet each other in person.
It's always the case. And have those really lovely discussions in person. It's so special.
It's so, really nice to be lovely. Here. And it's great to be able to follow on from some of the work that we talked about last time and just to see how you've, you know, continually evolving in your research, which is so fabulous. Now, the title of your presentation that you gave the other day is Pathways to Participation, Understanding the Experiences of Families of Children with Disability in Gymnastics. And I have to admit, that really caught my eye because I'm, you know, we do talk a lot about physical activity. We're talking about how important it is. We keep saying we need choice and autonomy. And sometimes the choice and autonomy means that children are going to pick things like gymnastics. Mm-hmm. But what drew you to this area? What made you come into this space?
Yeah, so most people probably know that majority of my research is focused on cycling.
Yeah.
But since I completed my PhD and through my postdoc, my research breadth has expanded a little bit to include some other sports, including those, and really trying to work with individuals, families and organisations to make more supportive environments for physical activity. And that doesn't mean just disability specific sports, it means across a variety of sports and mainstream sports too. So how this project came about was I work closely with an organisation in Victoria called Disability Sport and Recreation, which is our peak body for disability sport in Victoria. And they were approached by Gymnastics Victoria because they really wanted to improve their programs for kids with disability.
So great.
They're a really motivated organisation, and particularly in Victoria. They had some staff that saw it as a priority. But it wasn't only just one or two staff. Actually, one of the main drivers of it left the organisation and they continued the work. So they approached Disability Sport and Rec and said, we want to do this. And because I had a partnership with Disability Sport and Rec, they came to me and said, would you like to work with Gymnastics Victoria on trying to utilise research methods to help make gymnastics more inclusive for kids with disability?
Gosh, Rachel, that's so amazing because that, I mean, that highlights the value of partnerships and the fact that you know, you've got now these organisations that are looking to researchers like you to say, how can we do this? And there's a desire and a motivation to want to improve the inclusion. Like, how amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it's been a journey over the last sort of 2.5 years, really. And this is the study I presented here is the first stage of that project. We've actually now moved on to the second stage, which I'll share a little bit about. But the first stage, as sort of is in the title, was really trying to understand those experiences, gather those experiences of families, whether it's at that stage of trying to understand is gymnastics for me, so choosing gymnastics as a sport, to going, well, which club might suit, to participating and then continuing to participate. So we thought that that was a really important first step to hear from families themselves before then moving into more of a co-design project, which we've been doing over the last year with Gymnastics Victoria.
And so what families were included? You know, who did you speak with?
So the study was a mixed methods exploratory sequential study, which means we don't say that to, you know, it's academic jargon, but really what it means is we did a survey and then based on survey respondents, we invited participants to come and do some further in-depth interviews. So we had both survey and interview data collection methods. And then for our main analysis, we mixed all the data together to form a conceptual model as well as themes.
Yep.
So we had 45 parents complete a survey, and then of those we invited 14 to complete an interview, and 8 of those were able to go on and do the interview. Some people weren't able to do it in the
fabulous.
End, but 8 went on to do the interview.
Yep.
And they were all parents of children with disability.
Okay.
The age of the child was around 10, like the mean age was around 10. So we had sort of anywhere from 5 to 15, although we did extend it to 18.
Okay.
And there were a couple of children in that older age group, but primarily between 5 and 15 were the kids. All of the parents who completed the study were actually mothers, which was not unsurprising, given the participation in this sort of research.
Sure.
As well as those kids, the majority actually experience, have a diagnosis of autism spectrum disorder. So it is quite a popular sport for kids with autism. So about 3/4 of the families who participated had a child with autism. The other conditions were mixed between cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, and some other more rare conditions as well.
Wow. Okay. That's really interesting. Do you have any thoughts about why it's quite popular amongst children with autism?
So I think there are a couple of reasons. One of them is, and we've this is also coming from the families, but also then we've spoken to children since in our co-design. We spoke directly with kids. And those kids have talked, and those ones with autism have talked about how the structure and routine of gymnastics and the way that it's set up and the direction from coaches can be really actually quite relaxing and a really enjoyable experience for kids with autism.
And that's so important, isn't it? Like, I was speaking to someone else before about their poster and about, you know, engaging in physical activity, and one of the biggest limitations that it's just not enjoyable.
Mm.
And so it's so lovely that there is a sport that people are finding really enjoyable.
But it's also interesting because we had a lower population of kids with physical disability than we would expect as part of the survey. And one of the reasons, and it's something we've tried to address in our second study, but one of the reasons we think that is because sort of the underpinnings of gymnastics are around physical performance and aesthetic. And so it can be quite a challenging environment for kids with physical disability if they're not able to perform. And of course, there are physical elements with autism, but perhaps on a less significant scale to say, for example, with cerebral palsy. So that's been the main focus, or one of the main focuses of that second study is how do we work with gymnastics to sort of change the lens in which or the underpinnings of the sport for some of their programs.
That's such a wonderful challenge, I suppose, as well, and a great step forward, especially for a group and an organization that are so interested and keen to be so inclusive, which is great. Okay, so what will be some of the main results that really stood out to you, Rachel, through this whole process? I imagine there's quite a lot, but what were the main ones that stood out to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think one of the things was that while some kids really enjoyed competition, actually participating in gymnastics, the main motivator for that was the social connections for kids, which is not something that's new, and it's something actually that's been really interesting that's come out across in the session that when I presented yesterday.
Yeah.
All of the studies related to sport and recreation talked about social as a main motivator. And so how to kind of capitalize on that and support kids to stay involved by fostering those social connections. That's one of the key things.
That's so great.
The other thing was that parents really valued knowledge and understanding, and it didn't necessarily have to be that they would go to a club and the coach knew all about disability and knew everything about their particular condition.
Uh-huh.
In fact, it was more that they had an open mind to learn and see the family as an expert.
So important.
And that they were able to adjust and make accommodations and feel really welcomed by coaches. So that knowledge alongside a welcoming space was really important. Knowledge on its own was not didn't hold up, but knowledge and welcoming. And on that note of having a welcoming space, families really valued clubs that were explicitly inclusive and advertised that on their website, and they could get a sense of how they may feel welcomed into the club.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even that they had to do everything perfect, but if they were transparent about how they did things or they could find that information easily, then they were able to make more of an informed choice.
That's wonderful. And you think about, you know, all the organisations and clubs that are currently out there that are already doing this in that space. These are some key things that they can put out on their Facebook page or on their website, because parents are looking for this information to make that first step.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And also in terms of for therapists, families really valued the opportunity for therapists to communicate with coaches as well and provide some more information about what the child can do. And I think perhaps some parents found that therapists had a greater understanding or had higher expectations for the child's physical capabilities than some of the coaches. So that opportunity to talk between the therapist and really have a really strong communication was really valued by families as well.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Gosh, you've shared so much there, Rachel, and it's really exciting to know that this is like, you know, just the first part of many more to come. It's like another PhD, really, isn't it? What would be your number one, and it could be the same that you've spoken about before, but what would be your number one take home for this? And like, what can clinicians really take away from this and they can put straight into practice?
Yeah, I think it's probably around because as a clinician, we're trying to support children to achieve their goals, and at times that might be related to participating in a sport like gymnastics. And I speak specifically to gymnastics, but I think there is actually carryover from what I've heard from this conference and read in the literature. There are a lot of similar themes, but therapists do have a role in supporting kids to participate and can be a really key influence in creating an environment and working with the club to create an environment that's welcoming and inclusive and providing strategies to understand how that might be the best and optimise that experience of physical activity for the child.
That is wonderful, and that's such a great take home, because therapists who are working with kids to try to find these avenues, you know, it's reinforcement about the value of their role and how important it is, and it makes such a big difference.
Yeah, it does.
And that's wonderful. Thank you so much,
my
Rachel.
My pleasure.
Sharing this first part of it, that's the best thing about being at conferences. You get to get things that are just happening you know, it might take a bit of time for us to get things published, so it's so nice.
Well, it's, currently in the final stages of review.
Beautiful.
Hopefully, so it shouldn't be too far away, but
I hope I can present
the co-design work at a future conference, and maybe even if you've got a stall there, we could
we'll
do
talk
this
about
again.
It then. Well, you do this like an ultimate professional. For some people who've been listening, there's been a bit of cheering going in the background. I'd love to say that the wolf whistles were all for us, but I think they were just grabbing people's attention, but well done. We just kept going. They've all gathered next to us. So thank you again, Rachel, and to all of our listeners. I hope you really enjoyed that. That was absolutely amazing. Stay tuned for more, because there still is more on this final day.
Good
I'll
luck.
Talk to you all again soon. Thanks.
Thanks, Dana.
Bye.